Welcome back to the Medical Illustration Podcast. It's been a while since I last put out an episode, so I thought I'd get back into the game with a short one-off to just get back into the podcast headspace. By the way, this is Paul Kelly. I make surgical teaching videos at the Toronto Video Atlas of Surgery, or TVA Surge. I'm also a certified medical illustrator, or CMI, and I am an active member of the Association of Medical Illustrators, or AMI. All right, how many more acronyms can I fit into this episode? Let's find out as I happily announce season two of the Medical Illustration Podcast. So let's kick things off with a summary of what's been happening this past year in the field. I wasn't able to make the annual conference that took place last July outside of Las Vegas in Henderson, Nevada, but as usual, I was awed and inspired by all the artwork in the salon hosted on the AMI's conference website. So if you, dear listener, are casually running across this episode and you're kind of wondering, well, what the heck is this guy talking about? Like, what is medical illustration? If that's what you came here to find out, I'm going to put a big link front and center and in the show notes, and you can go check out the Association of Medical Illustrators annual conference salon gallery in its digital format on the conference website, and you will see exactly what the field of medical illustration is all about, what kind of work we do, and you might even learn a thing or two about medicine, health conditions, surgery, microbiology, and lots more. Now, if you go and check out the animation entries in particular, you're going to see a few entries in there from where I work here in Toronto, Canada, which is TVA Surge, and that will include a scapula flap harvest surgical animation. That's a video where I started delving into some new software techniques. Now, before I get in a tangent about that, let me just first explain the topic of that animation a little bit. This was a scapula flap harvest procedure, which is a surgical technique they use in ENT, or ear, nose, and throat surgery. It turns out that there's a very specific version of this surgical procedure that a surgeon at my hospital, Dr. Ralph Gilbert, does, and so I got to animate it. I'm really happy with the final result. I think it tells the story fairly clearly, and the aesthetic is representative of the vibe I've been going towards in my work. So check it out, and let me know what you think. I've also just completed a separate animation using many of the same techniques. This was the January 2024 monthly release on TVA Surge, segment 167 ex vivo liver resection for caval sarcoma. That video is currently live on TVA Surge and YouTube. You can check it out at any of the links I put in the show notes. I have had a few other projects between these two videos, but I wanted to mention and refer to them both because they're both examples of what can be achieved using a new animation workflow that I've been developing and I will be sharing soon publicly. I've got a webinar coming up soon with the AMI showcasing the node-based compositing techniques that I've been learning with the fusion component of the freeware DaVinci Resolve by Blackmagic. I would say that the vast majority of medical animation uses Adobe After Effects, or AE, for animation compositing. And I've certainly used AE for many years, and no disrespect to AE or Adobe. I just, you know, I like exploring different software tools. When I was in school, it felt like we were learning a new piece of software like every month. I mean, it was intense, you know, but after having done that for 2 years, I mean, this is one of the benefits of school. You know, it kind of becomes a habit, I guess. So here we are, what, like 13 years later? My God, what a different world now. But yeah, the habit stuck. Anyway, I don't want to get too deep into the techie nerd talk on this episode. I'm going to save that for the webinar itself. So as soon as we got all the logistics figured out for when it's going to be, I'll get it posted on my social media feeds. So keep an eye out for that if you're interested. Now, around the same time, this upcoming March of 2024, some of my coworkers will be presenting here in Toronto at the annual American Association of Anatomists, or AAA, talking about what we do at our team, you know, our goals and our workflow, how we work with surgeon is going to be really cool. There's going to be a lot of folks from the AMI and from the Biomedical Communications Program, or BMC, at the event. Also, the keynote speaker for this conference is none other than Drew Barry. Drew is quite famous for the work of medical animation that he's done, really done some amazing work, and he even gave a TED Talk a while back. So that's going to be exciting to hear about what he's been up to. I also want to give a quick shout out to Jill Gregory, who's the most recent previous AMI president. Jill had been doing a lot of outreach to other organizations during her term as president, which included the AAA. So now we get to enjoy the results of those efforts. I'm really looking forward to this event. It's going to be an enriching experience for sure. There's also a healthy amount of activity on several Discords related to the field. I think there's like 4 or 5 Discords at this point. I may have mentioned these before, but at any rate, yeah, I've been on these Discords for medical illustration, the Scientific Illustration Cafe, medical animation, natural science illustration, and visual communication in science and medicine. And they've been great. It's a really positive atmosphere. You know, it's just people who are into the same stuff, sharing things they know, or asking questions, getting answers. It's great. So if you're interested in joining any of these conversations, you know, just hit me up and I'll shoot you an invite link. Now, let's see, what the heck else has been going on? Well, it's almost been a year since I put out an episode, and I think the last one was on AI tools, you know, which include like art generation tools like Stable Diffusion and Midjourney, and then text generation tools like ChatGPT. And hey, we're still here. Whew. No, it's weird. It's kind of like calmed down, but at the same time, it feels like it is really moving fast. I don't know. You know, maybe we've all just gotten adjusted to the pace. I'm not sure. But most recently, OpenAI released a video generation tool, Sora. I haven't used that yet, but the example clips I've seen were impressive. I mean, there's new tools coming out all the time. It's wild. The AI components on production tools like the Adobe Suite, Blender, DaVinci Resolve, they're finding their way into like everything. It's wild. I caught a video recently on a 3D modeling generation tool. So that's going to be something to really keep an eye on too. That tech just keeps moving forward. I'm sure that technology is going to continue to improve to the point where, yeah, you basically can just make whatever model you want. The new one that I saw, like it was based on just like one photo and it would make a 3D model off it. It was nuts. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to do like another episode on AI, like just completely devoted to that topic coming up soon. But for now, I'll just say, you know, this is definitely something I'm seeing more people in the field of medical illustrations experiment with. It's also something I know is being utilized in healthcare. I'm hearing a lot about AI being used in medical research. It's been popping up in a lot of the rounds that I attend at the hospital where I work at. I like to sit in on those and just kind of listen to what's been kind of going on in their pockets of research. I'm definitely going to be bringing on a guest in the near future to talk more about AI in the medical illustration field. One of my very first guests, Dr. Gail McGill, is actually teaming up with Shay Saharan at U of T and also a BMC alum, Roxy Zeman, who's now in Norway, I believe. They're running a research study on how AI is being used and should be used by the medical and scientific visualization community. So I'll be reaching out to them to get to know more about that and learn some insights as well. I do remember having mentioned in past episodes of the diversity initiative from Johnson & Johnson on a previous podcast. Well, the work is out. I've been seeing lots of beautiful pieces from the participants on social media. I think they're going to continue to churn these out. It's going to be really cool to catch up with some of these artists after their like involvement kind of wraps up and hear about their experience.
This project aims to create a new online database of illustrations to increase diversity in medical illustration work, which is vital for fostering inclusive representation across healthcare globally. Increasing the prevalence of people of color depicted in medical illustrations, and I think this is speaking specifically to patient education materials, although it applies even more broadly, can help ensure that a wide variety of patients feel seen and understood in visual medical materials, which will ultimately contribute to better health outcomes. From my own experience and observations, I think this is a goal and activity that extends well beyond any one project. I think this is pretty standard now for most students enrolled in academic programs to include diverse figures in their work, and they're doing a great job of beginning to address this established lack in our field. I would by no means make a claim that anything has been fixed or solved, but scrolling through my social media feeds, I see a pronounced difference from what I was only seeing just a few years ago. So there's definitely progress, and I think that's something to celebrate. I mentioned the Johnson & Johnson initiative specifically because these are the types of paid opportunities we want to see more of. We want to see more diversity in medical illustrations. We want to see recent grads be given opportunities to jumpstart their careers. We want to see projects where the artist as well as the art is being given a spotlight, and we want people to see and respect the value of what trained medical illustrators can do.
So I'll keep an eye out for similar opportunities in the future and try my best to keep my audience informed. Okay, so one last random tidbit to share with everyone before I go. In preparation for this episode, I skimmed through a lot of recent social media posts, and my goodness, so many of my past guests have just been crushing it out there. Like, it's awesome. It's amazing. I mean, just they're posting all the time, posting super high quality work. It's incredible to witness. I'm just so fortunate to have gotten the opportunity to get to know these folks. It's so cool, man. I'm looking forward to bringing out a whole new series of guests this coming year. Together, we'll be helping to illuminate more about what medical illustrators are doing these days, you know, what kind of projects we take on, what kind of projects they've done in the past, and what the future may bring for all of us that make and enjoy medical and scientific visual content. So I'm going to cap it off here. I hope you're doing well, and I hope you will join me as we embark on season 2 of the Medical Illustration Podcast.